The Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN.
We'll get into the NFL. Jets looking at, I guess you say, get off the schneid tomorrow, 2 o'clock right here on 98.7 ESPN. You know, the Jets are still heavily favored. So all you Jets fans that are just resigned to the fact that you're going to be winless this season, heavily favored to not be winless on the year. 0-9 does not necessarily mean it will translate to 0-16. Stump Rothenberg, like we always do. I believe that it's everyone's favorite segment on the station, and we will continue the tradition with a little Stump Rothenberg at 10:30 this morning. So my producer, quick story, my producer, and Ty, I don't even think you've heard this. When I say hi to you, we can have this conversation at 9:15 during the week, Ray Santiago, and we're in new studios, and he went down to the new kind of coffee bagel cart on Monday, and he was wearing an ESPN jacket. The gentleman behind the cart, I guess you would say, says to him, "Oh, big fan of ESPN. Are you involved at the ESPN radio?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "What do you do there?" He said, "Oh, I produce DCR. I produce, you know, DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg." The man looks him in the eye and says, "I love Rothenberg. He's so smart." And Ray says every day he now goes back and picks up his coffee, it is the continued, I love him. I love him. So at least there's one to the man in the cart out in front of our building. I can't wait to meet you and thank you. And this show is dedicated to you this morning. So 10:30 Stump Rothenberg, 11 o'clock RJ Bell. RJ has, let's be fair, has struggled this season, and hopefully the turnaround starts today. But we start with the NBA, and we'll do that now. We'll open up the phone lines, and we're not going to do the entirety of the show on the NBA. So if you want to get involved, 800-919-3776. And it's funny because I've heard so many, and we had the draft, obviously, on Wednesday night, and I don't know how you can be a Knicks fan and not be pleased at what has happened up to this point. See, and I understand it. You're in a tenuous situation because you want moves to be made, but you don't want to waste money, but there's always going to be a Knicks tax, and you get nervous about the direction of the team, and you're not sure if Leon Rose is the guy, and you have all these emotions that flow through your head if you're a fan of the Knicks, and I am the same. And I think we all have the same feelings of where we are with the Knicks, and that is unknown and concern. And worry, and is this the guy that's going to actually get it right, or is this another GM who's incapable of putting a good product and a good team out there on the court? And I think that's fair. And here's the problem. This is going to be something that Leon Rose is going to have to deal with. He's never going to get the benefit of the doubt. He's not. This organization, this team has been the laughing stock of the NBA for too long for a new guy to get the benefit of the doubt. So it's part of the hurdle that he has to deal with, Leon Rose. But I will say this. Up to now, up to this point, you look at what they've done. And granted, this is not a playoff team. They don't even have a team right now. They don't even have a roster to put out there right now. But what they do have is hope. And what they do have is a lot of money under the salary cap. So you look at what the Knicks have right now. And they have the most money in the NBA to spend. So you sit back. And you look from above, and you like that you got Toppin from Dayton, and you like that you didn't have to move up, and you feel good about that. Now, I've had people, and this is just, and the funny thing about the NBA draft is, and this really stinks, to be honest with you, because when I was a kid, and I'll bring you back, and you can play the way back music, whatever you want. When I was a kid, I watched every one of these players for years. For years, so I felt this real connection. It's why I'm not all that interested in the Major League Baseball draft. Because for the most part, I really don't know. I don't know who these guys are. And the NFL draft, you have a connection because you've seen them all. And you've seen them all for multiple years, right? The NBA draft used to be, I've seen this guy for 4 years. And I know who he is. Or I've seen this guy for 3 years. And I know who he is. And I know his game. And I understand it. It's much closer to the Major League Baseball draft and the hockey draft than it is to the football draft right now. Because, I mean, if you go through the top 10, how many of these guys can you say, yeah, I've seen him a lot? A lot. And I've seen Obi Toppin a couple of times, but I'd be lying to you if I told you I'd seen him a lot. And Halliburton, and I watch Big Monday where it's the Big 12 game at 9 o'clock, but have I seen him a lot? No. And the kid from Israel, I never seen him play one time. And LaMelo Ball, yeah, the expectation is that he's going to be great and he's the best ball point guard and all that. I never seen him play one time. So a lot of my and probably your analysis comes off the Mike Schmidts of the world, the John Givonis of the world, right? Or Givony, or however you say his name. Like, a lot of your analysis comes off of what those guys have to say. You're led to what you believe. And I love the people that call, oh, I mean, Halliburton was the clear choice, and what a mistake. Come on. You don't believe that, and more importantly, you don't know that. But how do I feel about the Knicks right now? I feel like they're a blank slate. And I feel like Toppin was a good selection. And I've heard, and I've seen him a couple times as well, and you see the kind of athletic figure he is, and certainly his game defensively has to get better, and he's got to improve his shooting, but there's no reason to think that he won't be able to do those things. And you like the head coach. It's something positive you have going right now. And I mean, the kid out of Kentucky, I probably watched him play a couple times. I don't even realize that I knew who he was as I was watching the games. So I'm not going to give you some, well, you know, when I was watching 19 Kentucky games this year, I don't know. I know he's a player of the year in the SEC. I know that John Calipari came out this week and gave you rave reviews about what kind of a player this is and what a star he is and what a shooter he can be and a defensive lockdown player. But I've seen John Calipari do that with every player. This guy's going to be great. And more often than not, out of Kentucky, they turn out to be great. For some reason, Knicks went up with one guy who has not been great so far in the NBA, and that is Kevin Knox. But that's okay. Remains to be seen what he's going to be. Remains to be seen what Quickley's going to be. So I'm not going to come on here and tell you home runs. Knicks hit absolute home runs. They took Toppin. They took Quickley. Great job. And I'm not going to do that. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you that this is a wasted draft either, because the truth is, time will tell. So I'm not going to give you some spewing hot take and you know, have you think that Rothenberg loves this or does. I'm fine. I'm optimistic. I'm cautiously, that's where I am. The two-word phrase that I will use for the Knicks for the moment, for the foreseeable future, is I am cautiously optimistic about the Knicks. And then you get the Gordon Haywards. Now you have a ton of money. And what do? Do you go after Gordon Hayward? Do you go after Fred Van Vliet? Sounds like Van Vliet is going to wind up back with Toronto. Doesn't sound like you're going to get an opportunity to get him. Do you get a Russell Westbrook? I've been a proponent of not doing that, and a lot of people love that. That to me is that's the old Knicks way. Do you need to bring in a mind like Leon Rose with the connections that he has to do that? See, that to me is anybody could have done that. I want to take my time. I don't want to rush this thing. I don't want to, you know, very quickly make a move. Here we are. Now I'm locked into 3 years. And I know a lot of people say, well, that makes you a 35-win team. Okay. And that's fine. Am I looking? I've been patient for years. I've always said the Knicks fan, if built the right way, can be patient. So you bring in Alec Burks. Fine. And now you wait. And now let's see. And what happened? Now, I was disappointed, to be honest with you. This is the one thing that did upset me over the last couple days, because I thought there was a chance at this, and I love this player, and this is another point guard from Kentucky, and that's De'Aaron Fox. I thought there was a real chance that he wouldn't wind up staying in Sacramento, and you could slow play this thing and wind up with him as your point guard, because I think he has the potential to be a dynamite point guard in this league. It didn't happen. Signs a big long-term extension with Sacramento. That's now off the table. Now, I was hopeful that he was going to wind up as the point guard of the Knicks, so that won't happen. Is this a position, a situation that you're in that you just want to go and pull the trigger on Russell Westbrook and, you know what, let's bring him in and let's hand over the offense to him and 35 shots a game and the athletic ability that he's capable of? That's not what I want. And I know that Ty disagrees. I know that Rick disagrees. And if that was 2 years at $75 million, I'd say, fine, let's do it. I got 3 years and a $47 million salary in year three for Russell Westbrook. I don't want to do that. Do I want to do Gordon Hayward? I don't know. Doesn't move the needle tremendously for me. I'm going to wait and see position. And if it means the Knicks have another season that they win 24 games, I'm okay with that. And it kind of feels like most Knicks fans are not. And that's what frustrates me. This is a long grind of a haul to be respectable. This is not a snap of the fingers. Leon Rose is here. And all of a sudden, things are changing dramatically. You are really bad. You've been really bad for a really long time. You don't snap your fingers and get out of this thing that quickly. So I guess the question is the state of the Knicks. How do you feel about where this team is right now? And are you willing to have the slow play of this is going to take a couple of years to realistically, 2 years. to be a legitimate playoff team. I am. I don't know how you feel. Are you all in on Westbrook? Are you all in on Hayward? Is there someone else you look at and say is the answer? Because it's as clear as day that what this team lacks, maybe more than any team in the entirety of the NBA, is point guard. They have nothing at the point. So that's where we start. Is James Harden going to wind up on Brooklyn? I'd love it. How great would it be? Because, I mean, New York would be the face of the NBA, and it wouldn't even be with the Knicks. It would be with the Nets. But it'd be fun every day. And to watch that, because, I mean, Kyrie and Harden and Durant, yeah, that's an all-star team on paper. That's a tremendous amount of talent on paper. But does that work? And then you'd have no one left. You'd have no other players. The Nets are a good team. Signed Joe Harris to a big deal yesterday, what, 4 years and $75 million. They're heading in the right direction. That's a team that, even if they don't add James Harden, you look at that team and you say, that's one of the top two teams, maybe three, in the entire Eastern Conference. So that's our jumping off point, the Knicks and the Nets. Because if I don't mention the Nets, then the Nets fan gets angry. I can't believe you didn't mention the Nets. It's so unfair. We are a New York team. All right. And then nobody calls about the Nets, and then we spend 2 hours talking about the Knicks. That's not fair. Well, here's your opportunity.
The Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN.
I'd like to think that I'm the reason you love the show on Saturdays, but there are many people that enjoy the dulcet tones of when Ty D. Butler out of the Newhouse School of Communications, and typically this is the time that we would say good morning, so let's do that. Good morning, Ty. How are you?
Good morning, David. I am in the Rodney Bellinger Studios. First Stop off it. Of what I would call an incredible night of sleep. I've Sorry. Never felt better.
You had a good night of sleep last night.
Oh, man. 9:30. Those eyes were closed.
Really?
Shut for the night.
9:30. Like a baby would do.
Like a baby. And it was actually a poor decision because NBA free agency kicked off at 6 p.m. So a lot was happening. I woke up to a bunch of news. Bad decision.
Steven Adams news was probably the most jarring news,
no,
right?
No. Montrezl Harrell.
Oh, as a Lakers
going
fan.
Going to the Lakers.
You're
going
to have to learn how to pronounce the name properly.
Montrezl Harrell. Yes, that's there right. We go.
I knew you could do it.
Of course, but that's a big move for the league. I feel great today. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling well. I'm not baby like sleep like you had, but well.
I just need you to be. I wasn't pleased with your performance last week from 9 to noon. I just need you to be better today. That's
really?
All I'll say. Yes.
Really. So now this is something that you couldn't tell me off the air. This is something that in front of. The masses you need to make public?
Except for the fact that I did tell you off the air yesterday. I text you, and you didn't have anything to say about it, so I said, you know what? I'm going to bring it on the air.
I think it's nonsensical. I think it's ridiculous.
What's
you're a big part of the show, so really you're looking inward at yourself and saying, Ty, I stunk. You produce the show. I bring you on for large segments to talk sports with me. So if you think the show was bad, you're partly responsible for
that. I didn't say the show was bad. I just don't think you lived up to your capabilities.
Well,
I think you left some
of
the tank.
So, okay. On a scale of 1 to 10, on average, where would you say the show checks in at?
I'd say it's about a 9.5.
Okay. And last week you would say what?
6.5.
So you thought it was so you did think it was terrible.
That's not terrible. It's
6.5 on a 1 to 10 scale. That's a 65. It's barely passing.
It's above average.
If my kids came home with a 65, they wouldn't be having dinner.
you get stripped of dinner upon a 65 average.
If you had a 65 average
dinner, oh, though, but dinner
no,
isn't.
No, but you would get glared at.
Glared. So glared. I mean, but you still have dinner.
Yeah. Maybe like a no dessert though,
because dinner's not a privilege. I mean, it's a necessity.
No, I mean not every dinner's a
necessity. So I will call that bad parenting. By the way, Dave, you just talked about Harden possibly coming to the Nets. That's your worst nightmare. It has to be.
Not at all. I want it to happen.
You want the Nets to be closer to winning a championship?
They whether they get a Harden or not, they're closer to winning a championship.
Yeah, but
than the
Knicks. You would have to argue that where they are now. Versus where they would be with Harden is a monumental difference.
I think they would be unequivocally the favorite in the East if they landed Harden.
And they might be now.
They might be. I think they're one of two or three or maybe four teams that are right there.
So why are you rooting for them?
First of all, I have no animosity towards the Nets.
It's a rival.
No, it's not.
They play in your city.
So what?
So you would have no issue with the Nets winning a championship?
None.
I don't believe that to be true.
if the Islanders won, I would go to bed without dinner. If the Nets won, it wouldn't affect me at all.
I don't believe that.
I have some deep-seated dislike for the Brooklyn Nets.
I don't know that it's deep-seated, but and because of what the recent history has been, they've been irrelevant. They'll never be the Knicks, regardless of how many championships they win. But to see a team in your city in the blink of an eye win the title when your franchise has been a disaster.
Let's hang on a moment. You've known me for quite a while, right?
47 years.
And you feel like you know me pretty well, yes?
Yes.
Okay. And have you known me to be an honest guy when it comes to sports? Or do you look at me and say, no, this guy, he's shady when it comes to sports?
Fair point. So what I will say is, I don't know. I think you're underestimating how you would feel if they win the title.
If the Yankees won the World Series.
It's not on that level. I understand.
It would
crush you.
Sleepless.
Yes.
If the Islanders won the Cup, I would be incensed. If the Jets won the Super Bowl, I think that it would bother me a bit. If the Nets win an NBA championship, it would not bother me in the least. And why you don't believe me is beyond me. I have no understanding of why you think I would make anything up when it comes
to I don't think you're making it up. I'm just saying that you're underestimating. It's something that within yourself, it hasn't been revealed
yet. Even think I recognize that it would bother me?
I don't think it's been revealed to you yet because it's not.
But I rooted for the New Jersey Nets in both of those NBA finals.
But New Jersey's, it's different.
They were right on the other side of the river.
But now they're in Brooklyn.
They were probably closer when they were in New Jersey than they are to me now that they're in Brooklyn.
Closer to you, closer to you in New Jersey, but now closer to the Knicks here.
It does not bother me in the least.
There are different tiers, right? Like, it's the Yankees and the Islanders. And then beneath that, it's the Jets. And I think a little below that, the New Jersey or the Brooklyn Nets now.
No. I know myself and the teams I root for and root against.
I think I know you better than you know yourself, particularly when it comes to this conversation. It would crush you.
Where would the Cowboys fall on this?
Oh, the Cowboys are... the Cowboys are above the Yankees. They have to be.
I don't know about that. They're right there.
But you love the Giants more than you love your kids.
You know, I've said something like that. I don't know that I've ever said that. That's not true.
You've said it multiple times.
I don't know that I've said that, and that's just not true. I love my children. And it's funny that this would be like a real explanation I have to make. I'm willing to go out on a limb and tell you, Ty, this morning, I love my children way more than I love the Giants.
That is some limb you're going on.
Right?
But anyway.
I am willing to really, really go out there and put myself in a vulnerable spot. I love my kids more than I love the Giants.
In any case, it would hurt you. It would pierce you more if the Cowboys and the Yankees both won the title. It's hitting you harder that Dallas won the Super Bowl than it's that the Yankees won the World Series.
They both would crush me. When Philly won the Super Bowl, and I'm not exaggerating with you, Ty, every time, and it gets me angry just to think about it, Nick Foles goes out there and looks like he can't even play in the NFL. It makes me infuriated that this guy somehow miraculously won a Super Bowl.
It doesn't make sense.
It's one of those one of the wonders of the world.
And you feel like it's personal, like it happened to you.
Yeah, of course. I mean, one of the great things I had going for me was that I could always say, "Well, the Eagles have never won a Super Bowl," and that is now ripped away.
Wait till the Cowboys win a Super Bowl.
I don't think
the Giants.
I have to hold my breath on that one. All right.
And then the Washington football team. It's all going to happen in the next decade for you.
I could live to be an old man. Like
which you are now.
No. Like one of those Japanese people that has yogurt every day and they lift like 111. Like, how did they do that? It's like they had a special apple and yogurt every day. I could live to 111. I don't have to worry about Washington. As long as Daniel Snyder owns that football team, I think I'm in pretty good standing. All right. So we're 26 minutes in. Off a 6.5 from last week. Early grades are what?
6.5. The early return is...
Yes.
We started at a 5.5. This segment took us to, I would say, 8.5, 9.
Eight and a half, 9.
Yes.
So you really love yourself. All right, let's get to the calls and see if you guys can boost us up to a 10. Let's go to Butch in Jersey. Butch, lead us off. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, if there's anything I hate more than New Jersey Net, it's a Brooklyn Net. I'm a Knicks fan. I think they traded for John Wall. He's got 1 year left. It gives you the same
John Wall
agency next year. Just listen to me. He's expiring. next year's free agent class is really what you're looking at. And I don't want to commit all this money to Hayward that may or may not work out.
Now, hang on a second. Can I interrupt you for a moment? I don't think John Wall's expiring.
Didn't he re-signed 4 years in 2017.
No, he signed that deal last year.
Well, then I just brought the grade down from 6.5 instead of bringing it up.
No, he signed that last year. I'll have to look it up, but I... Yeah, he's not a free agent until 2023. He has a player option of $47 million in 2022-2023. No, thank you. Hard pass. Butch in Jersey is right, bringing the grade right down. Nelson, the great Nelson in the Bronx. Good morning, Nelson.
Good morning, guys.
Go ahead, Nelson.
Hey, so I had a question. How do you guys feel about Van Fleet? And my second question is, what about going after someone, you know, like Lonzo Ball? The Pelicans are loaded with point guards now. Lonzo Ball, Bledsoe, you know, just taking a shot at one of those guys. How do you guys feel about that? And I like Van Fleet, I think.
Yeah, I think everybody likes Van Fleet. I don't know that he's going to leave Toronto. But who, by the way, I don't know if you heard this. Toronto's going to be playing their games in Tampa. They're not allowed to play north of the border during this pandemic, so they will be the Tampa Raptors. But I think we all love Van Vliet. The question is he willing to leave and at what price? And I don't think he's going to go. So, yes, that would be great, but I think that's unrealistic. Yeah, I think you're going to have to probably, unless you go Westbrook, which I hope that they don't go. I want to go short term. I want to go a year or two. That's it. 1 or 2 years, the point guard, and move on. So that when there's a legitimate player that becomes available, that all of a sudden I'm the front runner. And I am an organized, functional, normal organization. I'm not the laughing stock.
Why would you be the front runner, Dave? Because it feels like every
time... If I have picks and I have cap room, that can make me the front runner. Not because anybody's going to be desperate to go there, although that might change. I mean, if you slowly become functional, Ty, and I know that it's a far cry for what the Knicks have been, but if Toppin is a good player, and Knox can take a step, and Robinson stays healthy and plays well, you got to figure you get a better version of R.J. Barrett, and you bring in some semblance of a point guard combination, then all of a sudden, and you have a lot of money.
You just gave me six ifs that all have to go right.
That's what the Knicks are. The Knicks are big ifs right now.
Why would you ever, if you are, first of all, with the way the league is set up now, where the incumbent team can offer you the most money.
So what do you want me to do? You want me to bring in John Wall?
No, not John Wall. He's coming off. He hasn't played in 2 years.
He hasn't played in 2 years, and he's 1 year into a monster contract.
Russell Westbrook immediately gives you credibility and makes you a playoff team.
I don't want Westbrook.
I don't understand how you can look at a guy who, for his career,
I don't need a guy that never passes the ball.
23. He never passes the ball, but
he has 7 assists a game.
He averages seven assists a game.
I mean, he has the ball in his hands every second of every game. He's a terrible shooter, and his game is predicated on athleticism, which I have a feeling will diminish over the next couple of years.
All of those negative things you mentioned, it is amazing that he's been able to go 23-8-7 for his career and become one of the 50 best players in the last 50 years.
He's never won anything.
Well, they went to the NBA Finals.
I don't need that. Well, you're right. If I bring him here, do I become a fringe playoff team? I think so.
Not fringe.
What do you think? I'm a 3 seed. No. I bring him here. I'm a 4 seed now.
No, you're not a 4 seed. But I would say you're about a 5 or a 6 seed, depending on.
Please, I'm a fringe playoff team. I'm like that 7, 8 or out.
You're not out.
Maybe I can get to the playoff tournament if I bring him.
You're not
Westbrook.
Out. I don't like him.
I don't like his game. I think he's a selfish guy. I think he's a me first guy, and I don't like him.
He's one of the best players in the league, and you're just saying no.
No, I don't want him. I don't know. Thank you. The phone's ringing for you. 800-919-3776. So that's what this is going to come down to again. The I want Russell Westbrook crowd, or the that's not the direction that I want to go in.
The Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN.
You with me here? You got me?
I got you, buddy.
All right. Just want to be sure. I know we're in a new studio. I know there's some technical issues.
Not just a new studio, man. Can you call it by its proper name?
Listen, nobody knows who Rodney Belazaire is.
Yes, everyone knows it because we talk about him a lot on the show.
No. Nobody loves Rodney more than me.
after you say no one knows who he is,
no one knows who he is.
They know who he is.
Nobody knows who he is. I mean, have you ever gone out for a 5-star lunch with Rodney?
No, but we have one planned. We do have one planned.
I'm serious. I socialize. We lunch. We're very close friends.
We do have one planned. We talked about it last week.
I'm closer to Rodney than you are. I would bet lots of money
that's
on that.
That's not true.
The point. The point is, you sit there and say it's the Rodney Bellizaire Studios. Nobody knows who Rodney is.
Everyone knows who he is.
Why don't you tell people who he is quickly then?
You said what?
Well, tell people who he is.
He's our tech guy. He's our engineer.
No, you're underselling. He's our chief engineer.
Our chief engineer.
Has done so much work to get the new studios ready.
He's done an amazing job. I just want to show him some love. Every Saturday we come on. I feel like I'm paying it forward.
Okay. Now, can I do a promo here?
Sure.
All right. The Michael K. Show's 20 and 20 contest continues Monday, 3 o'clock. There's only 3 chances left to score big, so make sure you're tuned in. For Monday, the guys are giving away an all-star cookout combo from Kansas City Steak, including fillets, ribeyes, strip steaks, lobster tails, and more. It's the 2020 contest, and it's brought to you by PC Richard & Son, Kansas City Steak, the Bartesian Premium Cocktails on Demand, and 98.7 ESPN. And it's simple. It is absolutely simple. They play audio of someone they've had on the show at some point. It's easy. You get it right when you guess it, and then you win a big prize. This one is the big combo from Kansas City State.
You just did a promo for the K Show, and I actually don't think Michael likes you very much.
Right.
I was listening to the show yesterday, and someone came on for the trivia segment, and he said, "I'm no Dave Rothenberg," but
he knows his limitations.
The caller said that I'm no Dave Rothenberg when talking about the trivia.
Well, I think most people understand that there.
But Michael immediately interjected and said, "Well, fortunately for you."
No, I would agree. Michael doesn't like me. That's fine.
So, I mean, you just did a promo for him.
Well, yeah, I'm a company guy. I'm a team player.
What do you care more about, your ego or being a company guy?
I have no ego.
You should have an ego.
Why should I have an ego?
You're letting someone
talk sports for a living.
The most important show we have on this station is the Michael K. Show.
Can I talk sports? Or are you just going to yammer on?
And he's just going to let him destroy you on the show.
I give you a little cookie, and now you want the full cake.
I'm just saying, you should defend yourself. You're going to do promos for someone who doesn't like you.
That's whatever.
Okay.
You think I care?
You should care, is all I'm saying.
I don't. And what I do care about is that you keep interrupting me. But I'd like to talk about the NBA and the Knicks and the Nets.
Go ahead. Do your thing.
Thank you. Can I get to a call, or do you have something else you want to get?
Actually, one more thing.
Oh, please.
I'm just kidding.
I mean, my God. I mean, already this segment, Kay doesn't like you. These are the Rodney Bellizaire Studios. I mean, is there anything else I can tackle before I get to a call with you?
No, go ahead.
You want to calm down the whole election tampering thing with you?
By the way, we do need a poll question, so after the call, we can figure it out.
We'll figure out a poll question. Why don't you get to work on that? I got it. I know what it is. I don't have the verbiage for it yet. But I have the genesis of it.
Love me a good genesis.
As a Knicks fan, do you dislike the Nets as much as it's something in there? Something like.
Well, can it just be? Do you dislike the Nets, or would it kill you if the Nets won a championship?
Yes. There you go.
See what
As a Knicks fan, would it kill you if the Nets won a championship?
The things that I do for you.
The things you do for me. I mean, the fact that on the fly, I have such creativity. It's remarkable.
Well, I cleaned it up for you. You had no idea how to dress up the question.
Yeah, but it's my baby.
It's also
I brought
my
it
baby.
In, and it was maybe a little soiled, and maybe you changed the diaper, but it's still my baby.
You adopted Cullum
in
the
Brooklyn.
Baby for me.
Cullum, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN. Cullum?
Hello?
Hello?
Oh, shit.
Oh, that didn't go well, Ty. Good job by you.
What's up, man? I'm a Knicks fan here, and because I could say that the Giants were the one who beat Tom Brady and Belichick twice. Now I can't say that.
Right.
Yes, and I don't want to see the Cowboys win the Super Bowl before the Giants, and also I don't want to see Washington
win the
Super Bowl.
I mean, of course, you don't want to get hit on the head with an anvil either. I mean, these are obvious signs.
I know, and that's why as a Knicks fan from the 90s, I seen we had a good enough team, and we were so close, and we never did it. To see Jersey get to the back-to-back finals, it pained me, and then it hurt me that they got Kyrie and Durant, which, hey, it's all right. but I don't want to see them win. I want that experiment to fail big time. Now, we need a point guard, right? And right. Everybody's saying probably
Paul's already off the board.
So I don't want that. I don't want that. Jrue Holiday, the Pelicans got, 3 first-round picks for that guy. If I'm going to give up my future first rounds, I will have to probably, I'll call Houston and see what's up with Harden. Westbrook is 3 years. That's too many years. Give me the 2 years with Harden, and I just take my chance.
I don't think Harden wants to come to the Knicks, though.
Why would you want to come to the Mecca? Everybody supposedly loves to play at the Garden,
on, you have no understanding of why Harden wouldn't want to come to the Knicks.
I'm saying, come on. You want the biggest stage. Why not take the Garden? Because if you win at the Garden, right, they're going to always remember you.
But this is a guy. This is a guy, William, and thanks for the phone call, that I actually believe wants to win a championship. If I gave you the Nets or the Knicks, you're going to tell me the Knicks are even close to what the Nets are as far as title contention? If Harden comes here, this is a 6 seed, is what they are. They're not winning anything. They're not competing for a title. They're still years away. And he doesn't want to come here. So you say the Mecca. Why has nobody wanted to come to the Mecca? Why did LeBron not want to? Why did KD not want to? Why did Kyrie not want to? So all of a sudden you're going to blame Harden because he doesn't want to? Nobody, not one, has wanted that. Dave in the car. Dave, you're next up on 98.7. Good morning, Dave. How you doing? Hello, Dave. This is curious. See, that's how, here's what I don't understand. You give me a grade of a 6.5 from last week. You're the guy that runs the callers and the screening and the board and everything, and this is on you.
How's this on me?
How's it on you?
Yeah, how's it on me?
If you're going to give me this subpar 6.5 from last week, and I try to go to the calls today, and none of them are ready and available, I think that's directly a reflection on your lack of...
Are we going to pretend that our move has just, been devoid of any level of tech issues at all?
We're not in the excuse business.
Okay.
We're not. We don't live there. We don't belong there. And we're not going there.
So you're gonna rip me for that happening?
I didn't rip. I'm just pointing the obvious. Okay. Let's see if we have the great Ira in Staten Island. Ira, you're next up on 98.7. Good morning, Ira. How you doing? Oh, Todd. Even Ira. I went to my safe spot. I went to my happy place. Ira's always ready. He's always willing. He's always able. Even Ira.
Even Ira.
Wasn't available for me. Oh, it's very sad. Very, very
we'll
sad.
We'll regroup. We'll be okay.
We'll see if Ty can get things back in order.
The Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN.
This is wild, right? You have the draft, free agency, start of the season, all in a 4.5 week span. November 18th was the draft. Free agency's just starting. Trades are allowed to happen now. And the season starts 1 month from tomorrow. You're going to have a shortened season, 72 games. And it's right around the corner. And think about this. We haven't seen the Knicks play since March. Early March. We will not have seen the Knicks play for almost 10 months. At the time that they actually come back. That is forever. Could you imagine if they were good? I mean, they're bad, so it's like, all right, it's almost a reprieve. I don't have to watch them play. Because let's be fair, watching the Knicks, it's a painful experience. Very infrequently do you watch the Knicks and at the end of the game just feel good about things and good about the future and good about yourself and good about what this team is doing. So to not see them for 10 months, you could look at it and say, God, it's kind of a blessing. Give me that time off. But they'll be back late December of this year. And, of course, we'll have every Knicks game right here on 98.7 ESPN. And hopefully they're better. And I like the direction they're headed in. I'm excited to see what Toppin can do. I'm excited to see what Quickley can do. And I'm excited to see what Rose and company, have on tap in store for us the rest of this free agency trade period. Because they've done nothing yet as far as reshaping the team with free agency and deals. Let's just see. Here's what you can't have happen. And this is the one thing. You can't have a deal happen that you say, God, it makes us, it puts us in a worse position 2-3 years from now than we would be now. So to get a little better now, to take a big step back in 2 or 3 years is completely unacceptable. Unequivocally cannot happen. 800-919-3776. We'll get to the NFL in about 5 minutes. Let's go to Ricky in Flushing. Ricky, you're next up on 98.7.
Rossi, it's Richie, by the way.
All right, well, you, very aggressive, Richie. I apologize. It's Ty. Ty is struggling today, and I think we all need to give him a little bit of understanding. And Richie, he made the mistake. He put Ricky. It's okay, and we move on. And I welcome you aboard, Richie.
Thank you. But I am feeling aggressive because I feel like these callers, they're not ballers. Westbrook, we haven't had a point guard like that since Walt Frazier. We need him in New York. He averaged a triple-double for almost 4 years. You guys don't understand basketball. What are you guys talking about? This is New York. We need a distributor like Westbrook. He's a distributor.
He's not a distributor. He's a me-first guy. He's a bad shooter. And look, he makes you better. Richie, if that's what you want to do, if you want to bring him in and have a chance at the postseason and be mediocre for a couple of years, then there you go. I wouldn't, and thanks for the call, much prefer, I understand you and your triple-double. I get it. All right? He does not make guys better around him. What I need to have happen is I want someone that's going to make, if I was going to do that, and of course it's not going to happen now, Chris Paul would have been the answer. Because Chris Paul makes guys better. Russell Westbrook does not. Russell Westbrook is a me guy who wants to shoot the ball. You say, well, he averages 10 assists. Yeah, he dishes the ball. He's got the ball in his hand every second of every game. There are moments where he's double and triple team where he actually passes it, but he wants to shoot the ball. You can't deny that. Nobody's going to argue with the fact that this is a guy that wants to shoot the basketball. And I understand. If you're a Knicks fan, you say, let's bring him in. I get that. I do. I don't think it's a crazy take. It's just not my take. I'd prefer to slowly and organically build this thing. And that, to me, is not the way. Brody in Hightstown. Brody, you're next up.
Dave, love the show. Hate the tie hate recently. But regardless, I think to not want Westbrook is kind of crazy. We've been begging to spend money with the Knicks for years. This isn't KD, but this is how you're going to get a good player via trade. Not coming here via free agency. Get the guy. He comes in. Makes these young guys maybe not extremely better on the court, but he's going to instill some work ethic. He's not MJ whatsoever, but he does have the mentality, if you're not working as hard as me, I don't want you near me. So I just think this guy helps the team. I think he can draw people in and draw fans. But
when
also
you say draw people
talent.
In, you mean draw free agents and other elite players in, right?
Yeah, and I think they just signed a shooter yesterday. And I think having some pieces around him, he can dish. He definitely is a shoot first guy, but he does know how to pass. He does know how to get the assists. And I think that he helps the culture, especially with a guy like Thibodeau. I think he's a maybe like a B in basketball IQ, but he's an A in hustle every single night. And he doesn't accept less from his teammates, and he'll get in your face if you don't. And I think there's no culture with the Knicks right now. I think he brings that.
I think the culture will be set. I think the culture will be set by the head coach of this team.
I agree, but I think it's assisted by the main player. And I think that he can help. The money's not an issue. If you trust the head, if you trust the new regime, they're going to figure out money. It's a 3-year deal. They're not winning a title in 3 years. Get them to a 6-8 seed. Get them to a 5 seed in 2 years. Move up, you know, build it with one star.
I mean, you really believe that. This is where we differ. I agree with a lot of your points. He holds guys accountable. He hustles. He gives great effort. And I think ultimately, I think he wants to win. You really think that this is a 4 or 5 seed in the next 2 years if you bring him in?
I think if you trust the new regime, it can be. I don't think immediately, no. I think it's a 6-8 seed year one with him, though. I do. I mean, they're bringing in good young talent. And but I think that during his 3-year contract, I believe they could definitely get to a 5 seed if you trust the new regime. I mean, there's always ifs with every comment.
I think you have to.
I do believe that.
Right, and thanks for the phone call. I think you have to trust the new regime. I think you're silly not to, because what else do you have? If Leon Rose is incapable, then this franchise has no hope. No hope of ever being decent. Really? I mean, I stand by that. If this guy is incapable of just putting a decent product, like Phil Jackson was incompetent. Let's be honest. Phil Jackson didn't know what he was doing, didn't want to be here, and as a GM in that role was incompetent. I mean, took guys that should have never been taken, went to workouts and fell asleep, didn't know what was going on, gave you this whole spiel that was complete BS the entirety of the way that he was here. He did exactly what you didn't want to do. He made you the laughing stock. You were so desperate to get him that you didn't realize he didn't want to be here. He didn't want any part of this organization. He didn't want any part of that role. And he was either incapable or incompetent or just didn't want it. Pick whatever you want. But he was not good. And now this is where you are because of that. I mean, if he drafts Donovan Mitchell, which everyone else in the room wanted, then do you realize what this team is? Then you got Mitchell, Porzingis, and now you're a completely different organization. Let's go to Lou and Manalapan. Lou, you're next up on 98. Good morning,
Hello,
Lou.
Dave. Good morning, Dave. Couple things. A few months ago, I called in to Larry, who was covering for you.
Okay.
And his question was, why is it such a struggle? Why is there no hope in New York sports? And I kind of gave him a long-winded answer, as I normally do, about how teams lack preparation, how teams don't scout, how we don't have responsible GMs, how we don't have responsible managers or coaches or whatever. What the Knicks did on draft night, and what Leon Rose has shown me so far, is that this team is more than prepared, that they knew what they were going to do. And for the first time ever, Dave, and I wanted to say this yesterday when I called DCR, you know, they actually had a plan and they executed a plan.
Very well, Seymour,
In 26 years of rooting for any of these New York sports teams, I've never seen a team really have a plan, you know, or at least the Knicks team have a plan. You know, you get it with the Rangers sometimes. You get it with the Mets. Now it seems a little bit more polished with the Mets. But, like, with the Knicks, you never really got it. You know, I used to hear about Patrick Ewing and how they, you know, built these teams. But now it seems like they can build those teams. And I know I said you need to get Westbrook. You don't need to get Westbrook. But Westbrook at least makes the Knicks watchable this year. And it's been very brutal watching the Knicks. It's almost like a chore at times.
Yeah, you're right. It is. And if another one of my teams hadn't played a game in 10 months, I would pine for them. I don't pine for the Knicks because I know how painful the potential of that return is. But I don't know. If I brought in a moderate, a mediocre point guard, and I think you can get a lot out of the Toppins of the world, and I'd like to see an improvement from Kevin Knox, and I think that R.J. Barrett has to be better. Like, I would just prefer that avenue. And I don't think you're crazy if you want Westbrook. I just think that you're kind of short-sighted, and I appreciate the phone call as always, Lou. I think you're short-sighted would be the best word I can use. That's a lot of money to pay for that guy. I mean, you're looking at $47 million in 3 years. If this was a one-year deal and then the player option of 47, I could even get around that. But I'm talking about 3 years of locked into this guy. And God forbid he breaks down, because you can't envision that happening, 3 years. And now I'm getting a guy that's going to play 37 games a season, and the athleticism is no longer there, and I'm paying him $47 million, and then you'll call crying to me. Why did they make that trade? What an awful trade. I said, I told you. Not what you want to do. Yeah, he will make you. Of course he's going to make you better right now. I'm not concerned about what happens on December 25th of this year. I'm concerned what's happening 2 Decembers from now. I'm actually trying to take the big picture approach to the Knicks for once. 800-919-3776. So why don't we quickly go around the NFL? We'll do that when we return, and then we'll go to Stump Rothenberg, and then RJ Bell's going to come in, and we've got the list as we normally do it on a Saturday. We'll go around the NFL, take your calls on that, 800-919-3776. Giants on bye this week, but still making news with Joe Judge and offensive line coach, or former offensive line coach, Mark Colombo. The Jets with a game in L.A. against the Chargers. They're 0-9. Is this the week that they get the win? We'll get into that.
The Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN. He's pompous.
Listen, shut up and I'll tell you the story.
He's arrogant.
Do you think there's a lot of things out there that I wouldn't be good at?
And sometimes he's downright mean.
I know you know what that's like, to be that uncomfortable, pimply face, not very popular kid.
But now it's your chance to prove him wrong.
It's dumb.
Call 800-919-3776 with your question and let's stump Dave Rothenberg.
Oh, you can try. Most have failed over the course of time. Stump Rothenberg brought to you by the law offices of the great Andrew M. Cohen. Ty, how you feeling today?
I feel pretty good.
You feel good about this edition of Stump Rothenberg. Now, if you recall, I think it was 3, maybe 4 weeks ago. I believe I went 8-1, and that resulted in a full body waxing from you.
Which can't happen under no circumstances.
Unfortunately, I've been in touch with your wife, and we are making all the plans for that to take place.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what happened.
All the plans. She will hold the camera right in front of your face, and we will watch the live reaction as each and every hair gets ripped out from the root.
We got to find a way to compromise. Renegotiate.
You have a fair compromise to eliminate that said punishment, I am here and willing to listen.
I will find someone who you find to be the best at this and give you a full body massage.
No.
No?
No.
Not good enough?
No. No. It's got to be a punishment for you.
That's a punishment for me.
No.
You're so disgusting. Why would I ever be a part of this type of relationship with someone? It's going to ruin my reputation.
Listen, I'm trying to give you an out, and you're just digging your hole deeper and deeper and deeper. All right, here we go. If I go 8-0 today, what happens?
Nothing. I'm not playing that game.
You're not playing that game anymore.
Yeah, it's dangerous. Dangerous territory. I'm not doing it again.
Russian roulette.
I've learned my lesson.
Yeah, you have. All right.
The error of my ways.
Let's go to Jake in Caldwell. Jake, lead us off. We'll see what you bring to the table today.
All right, Dave. Love being first. You know that. I appreciate it. My question is, who is the active major league leader in errors committed?
So that's obviously a guy that's been around forever. You wonder if it's like a Yadi Molina, just someone that's been around forever. Starlin Castro, just someone that's been around for such a long time. I think middle infielder, Pujols. But see, here's it. Pujols doesn't play anymore in the field. As Jubal Cabrera could be that guy. I think I've heard it was Castro, but now I'm uncertain about that. Pujols. Ty, you have any idea at this one?
I mean, it's the answer to this is obvious.
It is?
No, I'm kidding.
He
told me the answer when I screened him. So, I do know it.
You do? Well, because he gave you the answer.
Correct.
Right. I'm thinking Pujols, Castro, Molina, maybe Todd Frazier. All right, I'm going to go with Castro.
That's correct.
Beautiful.
I just thought that you would say Cabrera was my friend, so I was close.
There you go. All right. 1-0, a stressful 1-0. That's a nice question, Ty. I gotta give you credit. 1-0 on the big board. Steve in Brooklyn. Steve, you're next up on Stump Rothenberg.
Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Steve.
So to honor Robinson Cano's steroid suspension, we're going to go with a PEDs-related question.
Oh, great.
Who holds the distinction of being the first player in baseball penalized and publicly named for violating MLB's revamped policies on PEDs?
So this is someone in the last probably 30 years then.
Yep, 2005 they revamped the PED policy after both Congress. Right, so who is the first player pop?
So Manny Ramirez was definitely pop, but I don't know that he was the first. Palmeiro was also pop, but I don't know that he was the first. I was gonna say, is this a decent name, or is this like a non-existent?
He was a major leaguer. I mean, I guess by saying he wasn't a big name, it obviously wasn't Palmeiro.
All right, so it's not Palmeiro. All right, so that's fair. Now, Rafael Betancourt was also suspended. Felix Heredia, I think, was as well. I think it was after Palmeiro. Alex Sanchez was. I don't know if he's the first. This is a hard one. Before Palmeiro, because Palmeiro was so early, and I think the penalty back then was like nothing. I think it was like 15 games or something. Like
that. 10 games.
10?
10 games, yep.
Was it Betancourt? Was it Sanchez? You said before Palmeiro, and you said not a big name. Ryan Franklin, I think, also was suspended in 05. The first Met, I think, was Felix Heredia. Sanchez or not. I'm very uncertain here. It's between Betancourt and Sanchez for me.
I think you should be forced to give an answer already. This is going on too long.
I think I'm formulating an answer though. I mean, you see the wheels turning. I'm walking you through the process.
Yeah, but the walking is taking too long.
I'll say Alex Sanchez, but it's going to be Betancourt.
So Felix Heredia was the first Met. Rafael Betancourt was the fifth guy popped. And Alex Sanchez, first guy popped for steroids. You got it. Oh!
Do you see? I just let you in, Ty. I just allowed you to see how it all works and is broken down. Beautiful.
I think it took too long, so I'm not as impressed.
It didn't take too long.
Yeah, you took 5 minutes to get to that.
Oh, stop.
Anyone can get to that if you give them 5 minutes.
Then I'd like you to get to the next one. Ty will answer for Sean in Stamford. Good morning, Sean.
Hi. Hey, Dave. How's it going?
Good, Sean.
All right. So, I have an interesting question for you.
Okay.
November 8th, 1987 was the first NFL broadcast on ESPN. What two teams played?
Ty, you know the answer to this?
I do.
You know the answer to this?
I know the answer to this question.
How could you possibly know the answer to this?
Well, the problem with you doubting me is that it's very disrespectful. How could you possibly know the How could you possibly
He told
know
the you
answer,
the answer, didn't he?
I feel disrespected.
Now, I believe...
I don't have the knowledge. Capable.
My New York Football Giants were involved in this game. And if memory serves correctly, it was the Giants and the Patriots was the first game.
You are correct.
And that, my friend, Ty D. Butler, would be what we say in the trade. 3-0. 3-0.
I feel slighted.
How so?
Well, because you impugn my knowledge.
Well, Chris and Bethpage. Chris, for a perfect 4-4. You're on Stump Rothenberg.
All right, Dave. Hey, you know, I was thinking good punishment for Ty would be you should make him wear a Danny Dimes shirt for whatever, because he hates Daniel fumbles, which thank God he hasn't said in 2 weeks, but anyhow.
It's been a long 3 weeks. It's been an impressive 3 week run with no turnovers.
What you don't realize, he has nothing. I mean, this is a man who is barren from joy in his life. We don't want to make that happen. I know. Go ahead. What's your question, Dave?
All right. So it's presidential. What's the closest election ever, Dave? Who won the closest election ever?
Now, I need this to be broken down for me. Are we talking electoral vote? Are we talking popular vote?
Electoral college. Electoral college.
Closest electoral college ever.
Closest ever. Yep.
Be Kennedy? What are Nixon's in there? Bush Gore, but I don't think that's the closest. But that was close. Because I think that was 5. Are we going percentage?
We're going electoral vote. So if somebody wins, for argument's sake, if somebody won by 8 electoral votes, and then the following year, you know, next time somebody won by 7 electoral votes, only 7, that would be the answer, the 7. So just, not percentage, just...
Wait. If someone won by 5 and then someone won by 7, the answer would be 7 would be the closest?
No, 5 would be the answer. I'm just saying, it's a number. It's a number. It's not a percentage. It's a number.
So I wonder if Bush Gore is the answer. See, that would be too easy for you. But I think that was a difference of 5. I don't think I know the answer to this. Could be Hayes Tilden. I don't know what it is. Rutherford B. Hayes, that was 1876. See, there's no way it's going to be Bush Gore. Ty, do you know this?
I do. It's common knowledge.
See, I would have guessed Bush Gore, but there's no way Chris is going to ask me Bush Gore. And for that, I'll say Hayes Tilden.
Wow. Awesome, Dave. One
That's
vote.
Correct.
1876, you won by one vote over Samuel Tilden. Rutherford B. Hayes.
How about that? I mean, what you're witnessing right now is one of the great days in Stump Rothenberg. Ty, that's a start of 4-0.
That's right. That's
4-0.
Right. What I'm witnessing right now is a Dave Rothenberg who desperately needs to hit a break.
So let's hit the break. And now, are you going to be involved on the other side?
Oh, I will be. I've got a gem.
A gem.
An absolute NBA gem like you wouldn't believe.
Woodrow Wilson, I think, was also a close one. But we continue along, undefeated, 800-919-3776. To say the stress level is through the roof would be an understatement. 4-0 through the first part of Stump Rothenberg. We'll see what the second part entails. John Zaluga tweets me. Very nice. As Dave, this may be the best Stump Rothenberg ever. It's quite possible, John. Let's see how the second half continues. Ty, you have a question here, don't you?
I do have a question.
Now, would you like to go fifth, or would you like to go a little bit later?
Later?
Oh, I mean...
Yes, this is the fifth question. Okay, I got you. I'll go now. You ready?
Okay, so you'll go fifth.
Yes, I will go fifth. Here's
an
NBA.
You're going to go NBA, right?
It's an NBA gym.
Of course it is. Straight to the NBA.
So LeBron James, in a couple of weeks, will begin his 18th season.
Right.
So I thought about the longest streaks in NBA history.
Yeah.
Obviously, number one is Vince Carter because he just retired. He's at 22. At 21, we have 3 players who have all played that amount of seasons. I can ask you for all 3, but I'll ask you for 2 of them. 2 of the 3.
So you want Robert Parrish, Kevin Willis? Do those 2 work for you?
It does, but I feel like you're on the cusp of number 3, and I'll be really impressed. And you love to impress them.
See, I would either go with Nowitzki or Garnett.
Which one are you going with?
Mm-hmm. But I've already succeeded with the answer, correct?
Actually, there are 4 plays, so it's both KG and Dirk. You're right. Robert Parrish, Kevin Willis, Kevin Garnett, and Dirk Nowitzki
really? All
played 21 seasons. You are.
Oh. See, I wowed you. I had the answer you didn't even have.
You are a bundle of knowledge.
So that's 5-0. This is turning out. This could be the best Stump Rothenberg in the history of the program. Let's continue and bring in Neil in Lynbrook. Neil, you're next up on Stump Rothenberg.
Yes, I have a question for you. Your buddy wanted me to make it easier for you, but there are 6 quarterbacks that won most Iowa player in a regular season and also won the Super Bowl the same year. But your buddy told me to make it easy on you, and I asked you only for 3. But there are 6 to do it.
Wait, give me the question again.
There are 6 quarterbacks that won most Iowa player for the regular season as well as the Super Bowl in the same year. Who are they?
All right. Terry Bradshaw.
That's one.
Yeah. Bart Starr, I believe.
That's 2.
You hear how excited he gets for you?
Well, this is can you turn the music down just a touch? Steve Young?
That's 3, buddy.
There we go.
You got three more. Try it.
I thought we were done.
I'm here.
I know you are. I thought we were going for three. No, now we're going for six.
Well, I said there were six, but you know, if your buddy wanted me to make it easier for three, but I'll just let you know there's six, and I think you can do it. So I just wanted to see if it was possible.
You have more confidence. How about Oh God, Brady's got to be there.
No, sir.
Not there, huh?
He almost did it.
Brady's not there, huh? Montana?
Yes, sir. That's four. Two more to go.
And you said it's only quarterbacks, right?
Yes, sir. But there were 10 in the NFL players that do it.
Emmitt Smith, I think, did it.
That's a player, not a quarterback.
I understand. Did Kurt Warner do it?
Yes, that's five. You got one more to go, brother.
I don't know that I know it. Did I say Peyton?
You're wrong on that one.
It's not Peyton, huh? Okay. I don't know. Just give me the next one because we got to go.
The last one is Brett Favre.
Brett Favre. Okay. All right. I'd like to challenge that Brett Favre one, Todd. I'd like you to look that up.
No, he is. He is. Definitely one of them.
He is?
Yes. Brett Favre did it in 96, I believe. Either 96 or 97.
But I thought Desmond Howard won the MVP of the Super Bowl.
Favre in either 96 or 97. I'll check which year, but it's either 96 or 97.
Well, we still got it right, yes? For what he was looking for, we still got it correct?
I mean, it wasn't all six, but yes, you got most of it right.
Oh, did I get it right or not?
Yes, you did.
6-0. Tom in Somerset. Tom, you're next up on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, Dave. Hey, Ty. Mickey Mantle was one of the first Yankees I learned about when I was a kid, but he did not win Rookie of the Year his rookie year. A teammate did. Who was that teammate?
Hello? Yeah, and I'm thinking. Sorry. What is that?
50? Sorry, Dave.
No, that's okay. 51? So that would be, I guess, Gil McDougall would be the Rookie of the Year in 51. I think 51 was... I think it was 51. I'm going to go with McDougall.
That is correct.
There we go. Okay, that ties 7. Do we want to push it and go for one more?
No. Oh, well, yes, I guess we can. Let's do it.
I mean, it's up to you.
Let's do it.
7-0, looking for the magical 8-0, and let's go to Dave in Queens. Dave, you're on Stump Rock Rod.
Oh, he lost.
And he's gone. There we go. Ty, 7-0.
I like it. I feel pretty good about what you just did.
How could you not?
You know, sometimes I'll come on here and slight you and you take credit away, but that was impressive.
The Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Vegas insider legend, really, RJ Bell. Good morning, RJ. How are you? We're working on things here. We're working on things.
Here's the thing you're confused about, Dave.
Yeah.
Is it's all one long game. And when you say, wow, RJ was plus 10 units the first year, plus 8 units the second year. Now he's down 3 units. He's a loser. No, no, no.
No, you know what, RJ? I'm going to, because I do a tongue in cheek when I say you haven't been getting lots of. You're right. And I mean this sincerely. Anybody that bases like, oh, well, he went 1-3 in 4 weeks and now he doesn't know, is an idiot. This is the big picture. And this is not about a 5-game run or an 8-game run or a 10. This is about, if you wager with this guy every single week, are you going to have success? And yes, the answer to that is unequivocally yes with you. So how about that?
And I very much appreciate that. And to me, it's not even about, you know, one of the things on our show that we've discovered is about half the audience doesn't even gamble. And to me, if I weren't a gambler, I would very much want to listen to a show that had a good perspective on the Vegas odds, because let's be, you know, I always tell the story, but it's one that's near and dear to my heart. You know, my grandfather, who, 2 years ago passed away at 95, you know, he used to walk in when we were in high school, and he was never a big sports guy. You know, he grew up and, you know, was in WW2 and all that, but just was never a big sports guy. And he used to look at the TV for about a minute and turn to us and go, who's favored? And, like, to even start to engage with the game, you have to know who's David, who's Goliath, who's supposed to win. And to me, Vegas does that better than anybody. And, you know, you look at something like Drew Brees, and we'll talk about that today. The way the Vegas market, the bettors reacted, tells you a lot about Drew Brees, a lot about Winston, a lot about Hill. And there's not no other opinion is going to be that objectively true as the Vegas opinion.
All right, so let's start with that game. It opened up at -7.5. Then the news comes out that Brees has broken ribs and a punctured lung, and it goes shooting down to 3.5. I got to tell you, and I took this with our picks with the guys yesterday. I like the Saints, RJ. I do. I think that Taysom Hill is capable enough to lead that offense, and if they need Jameis Winston, they have enough talent. They're a very talented roster. They're only giving 3.5. I really like the Saints in this game.
So first off, what is, and I haven't read deep on this,
yeah,
what is considered the reason? I mean, you'd agree to Taysom Hill starting and Winston not supposed to get a material number of snaps, that is a surprise. Would you agree with that?
So I would, but here's the thing. Sean Payton for years has been questioned about, you know, what are you going to do with Drew Brees? Do you have full confidence in Taysom Hill? And he's always said, I have full confidence in Taysom Hill. And most people have said, well, it's tongue-in-cheek, and that's not true. And this week, he proved it. I think it's coupled with the fact that Hill's been there for years and Winston is not. And you couple that with the fact that he does believe in Taysom Hill, and that's why he's starting the quarterback that's been with him for longer.
To me, when I was on air when I heard that the decision was made.
I think you're on with us.
Perhaps. And the thing that threw me was, is when, and I don't know if you guys said it or not, but it was like someone soon after said, if not you guys, that yes, they say that, Jameis Winston will not take any snaps, or, you know, it's expected that he won't have any packages for him or whatever. And to me, I don't get that at all. If I was Sean Payton, I love the idea. Throw him a curveball, a swerve, as they say. Make it where they're like, okay, now what do we do? And then Winston, when's he going to come in? And maybe Taysom Hill only would have played 3 possessions, right, or series, but it would have been the first one. When you say ahead of time Winston's not going to get time, I don't understand. Like, what do you gain from that?
Well, I agree with that. Why would you not say we're going to get a combination of both so they can't spend all the time preparing for one?
Or a minimum, don't say anything about Winston, right? But to me, the fact they did tells me this is some punishment. This is some statement that Winston hasn't done something they wanted him to do.
All right, so that being said, knowing that it's going to be Hill, knowing the game's in New Orleans, knowing they need the victory, knowing Atlanta's played better, knowing the number is 3.5, where do you fall with this one?
I think this Saints team, this game is significantly worse with Taysom Hill. Because here's what we know. Jameis Winston has an entire season last year in which his QBR was 15th best in the NFL. Right? And he had multiple other seasons prior to that. What is Taysom Hill's best season throwing the football? High school?
Yeah, probably BYU.
I mean, well, I don't know. Was it? Wasn't he hurt every third play?
I don't know.
So what I'm saying is there's a real uncertainty. I mean, the thing, people always hear sample size, Dave, and it does get old, right? The guys that like math, it's just, nah, sample size. But to me, when there was debate about would you rather have Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson in the off season? Now, it sounds absurd in hindsight, maybe, but at the time, you could make the case Lamar Jackson had the better year last year. Now, there was questions about sustainability, health, all that stuff. But to me, it was an easy answer. And it wasn't just because, the future's throwing, which I think it is. It was more that we've seen it for multiple years from one and 1 year from the other. It just makes it so much less likely it continues for one of them. And to me, Winston, his level is certain. Taysom Hill's has not been proven, and I have no interest in betting on an unproven entity.
All right, so you're avoiding the game, or do you like Atlanta?
I like Atlanta.
Huh.
Yeah, I do, because here's the thing. So expected points added, right? It's an efficiency stat. A lot of the analytics people love that stat because it's a per-play stat. So you can really look at every play. If you take out garbage time, which we just define as one team's got a 90 or better percent chance to win, right? So that game's decided. Other than that, you look at, since Raheem Morris has become coach, they are the sixth best team in the NFL, the Atlanta Falcons. And obviously, if they were to now kick their 27-yard field goal instead of tell Gurley not to go in, just kneel and kick it, they'd be 4-0. And imagine if that 4-0 had started the season. If they had let go of Quinn in the off season, Morris comes in, redemption after Tampa Bay and all that, and starts out 4-0. He's on the cover of Sports Illustrated. It's funny how the beginning of seasons, like look at Buffalo, how good they looked, and it's still in our minds. But couldn't you make the case that Atlanta's played as good in the last four games as Buffalo played the first four?
Yeah, Atlanta's played very well, yeah.
So, to me, I actually do like Atlanta here.
Okay. Canty does as well. I don't know if that makes you more nervous or not.
I'm just going to act like I didn't hear it.
Yeah. All right. So, you like Atlanta. How about the Eagles and the Browns? This is funny. Opens up at 2 for the Browns. Their best player by far, Myles Garrett on defense, is not going to play, and the number is now up to 3.
I like the Eagles here, actually. And here's why. And this is a great lesson about injuries. And it goes in both directions. So let's start with the current situation, and then I'll double back to another situation. When you have players, a key player, or multiple players, that when you add them up, are material, are key, and they come back the first week, it's not necessarily the week to play them. Because what happens is maybe they're back a little early. Maybe they're not in shape yet. Maybe they're not integrated. Whatever it is, the first week compared to the second week, the first week's not near as good of a significant return. That's what Eagles had last week.
Yes.
Many players coming back, or, more than a few. Okay.
No, you're right. Yeah, a lot of skill position. Miles Sanders came back and Alshon Jeffrey came back.
And the line got bet up. I mean, it was steam action on Philly, up, 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 and they lost. And you know what's happened? Everyone said, well, that's it. I'm done with them. Because, they've been spot playing Philly. They've been losing. And now they're saying, all right, they're back. This is the team we've been kind of hoping for. And when they lose to the Giants, remember now, I'm sure you knew this stat, Daniel Jones had one win against someone other than the Washington team in his career.
Tampa. Correct.
So, I mean, obviously you're Philly here. That's a bad loss. Everyone's sick and tired. It's like even the guys coming back don't matter. I think this is the week they matter. And even more so. And the beauty of it is we get the players playing better and we get the Eagles cheap because everyone's sick of them from last week. Real quick, because this is such a key point. When someone's hurt for the first time, so the opposite side of this coin, it does something similar, which is the first game, everyone overreacts. Oh, my gosh, Drew Brees isn't there. Right? Everyone tends to overreact. Maybe I am in this case. And then what happens is the rest of the team tends to step up, and they play a really good game, and they surprise everyone. Then the next week, they're like, yeah, he doesn't matter that much. And the team now doesn't have the energy to do that again. So usually when people come back, it's slow, then good. And when people get hurt, it's surprisingly good, then bad.
So question, if you do like the Eagles,
yes,
do I go money line with Philadelphia or am I taking the 3?
I would say this. To me,
it's a good question, wasn't it?
Yeah, you could ask it about any underdog, but the reason I was pausing a second is I'm going to announce it now. In the last segment of this hour, I'm going to have my money line play of the decade.
The decade?
I'm being a little winky here, wink, wink. Ironic. But, no, I love this money line play.
Not this one. There is one later on in the segment that
exactly.
You
exactly. And I'm gonna give it in the but right around 51.
That you know what, RJ? That's what we call in the business a tease. Well, you have just
deep tease.
I mean, and it's a multi-segment tease. What you have just done is locked them in for the hour. So I thank you for that, because otherwise they'd probably be, you know, running to do whatever they do.
Well, listen, let's be candid. Your going radio is when they're pulled up to the driveway, they're letting the car run to have the segment.
That's right. They That's drink the their goal. Coffee in the car because the content is so terrific. So 51.
I remember when I just, I was going to tell when I started listening to Howard Stern back in 96, I was in the Kroger's driveway or parking lot listening. I said, I must like this stuff, but you go ahead and do your hackneyed tease to the next segment.
No, I'm not going to do that.
Okay.
I'm not gonna be belittled by you. A guy who gets ridiculed on the K show and just goes back for more week after
week. Did you listen this week?
I mean, they're abusive. I feel bad for you.
No, you didn't hear the segment then.
I know. Yeah, because you catered to
the long
term. Peter wants no part of it.
Huh?
Peter wants no part of it. Peter dislikes you greatly.
Listen, envy is an insidious thing.
All right. If you say so. All right. So we got a lot of games to do. And we got a lot of calls to get to. So line them up. 800-919-3776. There's a couple games I like, and I will give my take. Last week, RJ, by the way, I loved the Vikings on Monday night, and you said no, and I was right.
Mm-hmm. You're right. And I tell you, the Vikings, that win is very impressive. Because,
well, you know why? Because I said this team's going to go on a run to the playoffs, and everyone laughed at me. They were 2-5. They had a big win, and then they had another huge win, and they are in real position to make a push for the playoffs now.
Well, I know we got to run, but if you actually look at the last 4 weeks again, is Minnesota's expected points added is number one in the NFL.
They are, I think you can say, a good football team right now. And I actually...
Zimmer might be the second best coach in
football. He's a terrific coach, and they play for him. And they're giving 7 this weekend, so I'll tip my hand a little bit and tell you I like him again this week. All right, Washington, at home, giving 1 to the Cincinnati Bengals.
Cincinnati last 16 games on the road, so this is a season worth of road games. 0 straight-up wins.
Oh, God.
0-15-1. Now... Typically, they cover maybe 4 of those games. They covered 11. They are 11-4-1 against the spread on the road, 0-15-1 straight up. It's almost, I've never seen it before.
But here's the thing, to cover the spread, they're going to have to win the game.
Yeah, but that's a long conversation. But in general, that's not that doesn't really make the point, because the average line in those other games was 8. So it's like, are they going to be close? You know, are they going to overperform expectation? That's the question. So Bengals seem like a bad road team, but actually they're a pretty good road team. I'm impressed by Alex Smith. I'm passing. I was wrong. I thought Alex Smith was the worst quarterback ending last week, and he obviously wasn't.
All right, so you're not involved in that game. Titans-Ravens. I'm excited for the one that you're like, all right, here's the money line play of the week. Titans-Ravens. Ravens are giving 6.
It's not the money line play of the week. I like the Titans a little bit, and here's why. The Titans had a very specific game plan that they used to beat the Ravens in the playoffs. Now, you could say, well, hell, the Ravens are going to spend the whole offseason trying to figure that out. But what Belichick did was pretty much the Titans game plan with one variation. So even if the Titans didn't understand that variation, they did by seeing that game. I'm always worried about the team that played the Patriots the week before, because Belichick is going to expose that team. So I actually don't like the Ravens here. I like the Titans.
All right, Cowboys at the Vikings. I took this one laying 7 with Minnesota on our show picks. It's now up to 7.5. Where do you lie on Cowboys at Minnesota?
I go 7.5. I'm not going to play, but lean Minnesota. I think the problem to me is Andy Dalton. This is first game back. COVID, head concussions. I mean, I don't know. The guy's gotten paid a lot of money. Doesn't seem to be playing much. So I don't think the team can be too ecstatic about it. So if anything, I think Andy Dalton's an upgrade. I just don't know if the team's excited about him. Minnesota's going for the playoffs. I'll lean Vikings.
Chiefs and the Raiders, and that number is 7.5 for Kansas City. Their lone loss was at the hands of your Las Vegas Raiders, RJ.
Raiders beat the best team in the AFC, Kansas City, beat the best team in the NFC, New Orleans. No other team has wins that impressive. If you look at Derek Carr, the last two games that didn't have 30-mile-an-hour wins, so you throw out the Cleveland game, he's been number two and number four in air yards. Typically, he's in the 20s. Something has changed about Derek Carr. Put a pin in that one. I lean Raiders, but Andy Reid off a bye is outstanding, and Andy Reid with revenge, especially when he's talking about some victory lap, I'm not anxious to get in front of that, but I am not anxious to go against the Raiders either.
Dolphins, Broncos, I mean, you could argue Dolphins the hottest team in all of football right now outside of the Pittsburgh Steelers, and Miami opened up as a pick'em in this one. Now they're up to 4-point favorites.
Listen, Denver's been getting a ton of respect. I think the wise guys are wrong, and here's why. One of the things I've been doing lately is throwing out garbage time, and like we said, 90% or better chance to win the game, it's garbage time because one team's, you know, prohibitively going to win the game, so it's a different kind of game. Is Denver is like the best team in the history of the NFL in garbage time. But if you actually look at just the non-garbage time, Denver's like on offense is number 31, and this is the last 4 weeks, and on defense number 25. Denver's worse than we think, but you add in the garbage time and those comebacks, you know, I see why this line is what it is, but except for that last score, I don't think it's valid, right? When you're down 21, if you score, you don't score. It doesn't mean very much. I like Miami.
All right, this is going to be the one I have a feeling. Jets at the Chargers. Chargers minus 9.5. Is this the one?
It is.
Yep.
Money line, play of the decade, wink, wink, New York Jets. Now.
What is the money line, by the way?
Plus 400.
Wow.
4-1. All right, now here's the rationale. If you have one of the best spots in the NFL is a winless team after week 7 or later, meaning it's pretty meaningful, they're winless still, off a bye. They are 18-5 against the spread. And amazingly now, you think, okay, how'd they do straight up? They win half their games. So a team that's winless randomly plays a team after a bye, meaning it's not like they always play a bad team, right? And they win half the games. Why? Because they want to get that goose egg off their back so bad. And now the beauty is we got the worst in-game coach in the NFL if it's a close game on the other side. So not only do they want to win the game, you got a Chargers coach who's going to give them the game most of the time, and we're getting 4-1. So what I recommend is if you bet $100, let's say typically, put maybe 60 on plus 9.5, and then 40 on the money line.
Wow. So, and this was your pick for our show this week. The Jets.
Yeah, but I think the rationale is great, right? Off the bye, they care about the win. Chargers don't seem to win close games.
And lastly, RJ, I like that pick. If the Jets win this game outright, I will lead the show Monday morning touting your genius.
That's what it takes. Any loss leads the show, but I have to pick a 4-1 underdog. All right, I got it.
All right, listen. Rams, Buccaneers, quickly, final game, Monday night, Bucks are giving 4.
All right, so the Rams have the best defense in the NFL. Not one of the best defenses, the best defense right now in the NFL. In fact, again, 4 weeks, non-garbage time, Rams have the best passing defense and the best rushing defense. They're number one in both. They lost their key left tackle, Whitworth, offensively. It's going to be humongous, especially the first game, especially against a Tampa team that has very complex blitzes. You're going to have an inexperienced left tackle. I like under in general. But in the second half of games, the last 6 games, in the third quarter, the Rams have given up 0 points. 6 straight scoreless quarters. So I'm looking to play about half a bet. And again, this sounds complex, but it's really not. Under third quarter. You can go under second half. You can go under at halftime. There's all kind of ways to bet this. Get exposure on the under Monday night and have a bias towards the second half.
RJ, great stuff as always. I don't think I'll talk to you before, so have a terrific Thanksgiving.
You too, Dave, and everyone in New York. Let's root on the Jets.